Dissolution by Stefan Molyneux, freedomain.com/donate. Chapter 21. Shane's eyes were red as he entered Dr. Garner's office. "Okay," he muttered. "Okay." He almost charged at the couch, turning and sitting in one fluid, panicked motion. His brown eyes were wide, rimmed with dark shapes, the shaded half-moons of sleeplessness hanging beneath them like restless hammocks. "Okay," he repeated. "No bullshit time, Doc. I'm sorry." His voice caught. "I've been an asshole." Dr. Gunner nodded. Shane laughed bitterly. "So, no argument. Fair. Fair. You have any siblings, Doc?"
"Two brothers and a sister."
Are they doing well?"
"Well, they're not at the 5%, but yeah, overall, not too bad."
Shane's hand was on his mouth. His words escaped like lost prisoners through the bars of his pink fingers. He just fucking died, Doc."
"What? Your brother?"
I've got to get all this down, you know, before I forget. Because I will, I think. No, I know. Every little thing just, you know, just goes into the grave with you. Everyone stands around just mourning what will never be known. How many times you dreamed about elephants? How many times you read the word the? How many times you made love to someone while thinking about something else? It can't all just go. But it does. Yes, he had two kids, you know? They were kind of assholes. Well, not the younger one. He's kind of cool. But that older kid, Justin, he's a poster boy for execution by peer pressure.
Look, Shane, just tell me. What happened?"
"So he goes in for hernia surgery. Curse of the sitting class. And something gets nicked down there. And he has to go back in and just... dominoes, you know? Sometimes with your health, it goes that way. You go in for a cut finger, you touch the wrong doorknob, you get sepsis, they intubate, and you just exhale into eternity, you know? He was gone in a wink, in a finger snap. And I fucking loved it, Doc. I was rooting for bad things. You know that thing where you like some celebrity, like sexually, I guess, and then she gets engaged and you just feel this little thump of disappointment. Like you're going to run into her at some coffee shop. She's in town for a concert or a movie premiere and you just brush elbows and end up bumping uglies, you know? And then you're all in the papers as just some unknown dude in a hat waiting to get dumped because you can't handle the lifestyle, the exposure."
"Your brother."
"Yeah, I know," snapped Shane. "So I got a little lift. You know, when Robbie's life went south, tits up. His wife aged like a prune. Yay! He got a gut. Yay! His kids turned into this Japanese boy band from hell. Yay! He was stressed. Yay! Because he was living a pretty good life compared to mine. You know, they say as close as brothers, a total lie. As close as brothers seem to be, laughing and arm wrestling on the table while kicking each other in the balls underneath. Not enough mom, not enough dad, not enough food, not enough love." Shane's voice broke again and he jumped up from the couch, pacing back and forth in the expansive office, his Skechers brushing the industrial iron gray carpet. "I did nothing for him, Doc. Sniped at him. Set my will against his, like a little bitch. You know that bullshit smile when something goes against my will? For him? Hey, that's great, Rob, congrats. And you force him to pivot and, he took a deep, savage breath. And ask you and pump you up. And yeah, oh, it's gross. You get this thrill of triumph and domination over him. And it's also stupid and petty. He was J. Crew cool and smooth and tall and had this floppy great hair and beat me at sports like all the time. And he never saw fit to lower himself into my canyons of competence and play Caves of Chaos or Unreal Tournament or anything like that. He'd try, sure, for a minute or two, but he always had something better to do, somewhere cooler to go. And he left me with her for like a decade.
Her?
Mom. That broken hydrant of endless words. Drowning the fuck out of me. But, damn, Doc, why does it always come too late? I never...
Jesus, this is horrible to say.
I never thought what I would have done in his position. Would I have abandoned me if I was him? Fuck yeah. Like, not even a hesitation. A certain answer was out within me before I even finished asking the question. I never said anything to him about Helen. She was a hot red flag from the get-go. She was only going to lead him to a worse place. Reinforced all his...
His eyes filled.
Jesus, Doc, we're both addicts.
Shane's face crumpled.
And he tried to help me with mine. But I never helped him with his. No, fuck. It's even worse than that. I drove him towards her. Oh, she's great, Rob. You can't do better. I didn't deliver the drug, but I talked it up like hell. He was a better brother, and now he's fucking dead.
Okay. Sorry to sound like a cliche, Shane, but take a breath. Slow down. Shane cocked his head.
You think I'm manic, Doc? Got pressured speech? No, nothing like that. I'm just waking up to the basic fact that I've been a colossal intergalactic asshole for like 40 years. It's a lot. It's a lot of asshole to take in.
When did he die?
Like yesterday. That's why I wanted this session.
I'm really sorry, Shane. How is your heart? Shane backed away from the dark desk, the high windows over the gritty canyons of downtown Toronto far below.
Oh, fuck. Don't ask me that, Doc. It's a bladed graveyard.
Poetic, but unclear.
Yeah. Pretty syllables leading nowhere. I resented him.
Yeah, I got that. Stop stating the blindingly obvious like it's some earth-shaking insight.
Yeah. Sorry to muscle in on your territory.
Shane shook his head rapidly.
Sorry, Doc. Just more assholery. But it's like no one told me that time was passing. I kept all my hair. I work with my hands, my back, so I'm slim. I don't see much sun. I don't have any real worries, just resentment and buried panic. So I'm like not aging. And I take weird pride in that. I got carded like 5 years ago. You know how happy that made me feel? But it's like a painting, Doc, sitting in the basement under an oily cloth saying, hey, my colors aren't fading. But it's because I'm unfinished and underground and no one cares to look. I look young because I've never grown up, Doc. No one wants to look at me, so I don't age. I'm well-preserved, but not through care, through indifference, laziness. I mean, you look like shit, Doc, but you're doing well in the world, doing good. You have lines because you worry, you frown. You have kids, they have to get by, you worry about them. Christ above, like a month ago, you mentioned that your wife was sick, and I just kept talking about my parents and my sad girlfriends and still Regina and my fucking warehouse. And I never even thought to circle back. I don't even pay you. And all I talk about is myself.
Dr. Gunnar took a deep breath. She's not better.
Oh, no. What's going to happen?
We don't know. It's Canada, so we have to go to the States to get health care. We can see a specialist here in 6 months, maybe. Pay all these taxes, then pay to fly to the States and pay out of pocket.
Well, immigrant business takeovers aren't going to fund themselves,
said Shane, bitterly clenching his hands.
Sorry, that's political bullshit. I'm sorry, Doc. I hope it works out.
Thank you. Shane fell to his knees as if slammed by a giant invisible fist.
Oh, God. Time goes by so fast. Nothing changes in the frame, but the movie seems endless. I don't feel time, but my body does. I wish I had a period, some kind of metronome that shows the passage. But we're like tanks, like bricks, just copy-paste day by day. You've got bookmarks, births, deaths, sorry, like babies and christenings, if that's your bag. I've got blank pages. I last saw Regina like 20 years ago. What the fuck have I been doing?
Shane took a deep breath.
I mean, I don't want to panic.
Why not?
Why? What?
Well, isn't this the perfect time to panic? Shane leapt to his feet, held up his hands, and backed away.
Oh, Doc, please don't rev that engine. I'll fucking faint.
No, you won't. Listen, Shane. I'm really sorry about your brother. I mean, try this. Imagine you'd talk to him on his deathbed. Just you. In the dark. And he knows he's dying. Stay with me. This is important. What would he have said to you? Shane burst into tears.
Oh, Jesus, Doc. I know the answer to that. Before Jesus, he would have begged me to step up and save his sons. To give a shit about his family, to comfort his wife and kids, to be a fucking uncle rather than a selfish wreck.
Yes. Yes. Murmured Dr. Gunnar. Go on.
I can't.
Shane sucked down deep, gulping breaths for a minute or so.
It's such a cliche. I last talked to him like a month ago. He offered me a job. I hate that warehouse for you, bro, he said. I took offense. Why? Because I'm an asshole. As I said, I defended the warehouse like it's some spiritual Shangri-La. I can't even repeat the grimy fortune cookie bullshit I spewed. Why did I hate him so much? He was just doing his thing, being Robert. Oh, I felt so superior because his kids were going wild, running feral, But what do I have? A basement apartment and some dusty 90s CDs I throw on to pretend I am freezing time. God, I loved making him feel helpless. So we had something in common. What an asshole. I forgot his kids, my nephew's birthdays more times than I remembered. But don't worry, Doc. I sent them a few emojis, so we're all good. Christ. And now I have to try and build something up with them. Oh, they're going to make me pay.
It's probably too late. Okay, please, forget about them for a moment, said Dr. Gunnar, his voice rising. You are a language engine, Shane. It's actually really impressive and kind of intimidating. Like a display of swordsmanship. Impressive, blinding, but impossible to get close to. So slow that shit down. Take a deep breath. Take a seat. Good. Now, you're going to have to do the toughest thing in the world and shut up for a while. Dr. Gunnar took a deep breath and stood up. You can talk yourself in and out of anything and everything, Shane. It's, again, impressive, but unstable. But there's one thing you haven't realized yet. And here is where I earn my daily bread. Are you ready? No, don't answer that. I can't take another manic journey. No, that's colloquial, okay? everything you say. You know that the only real addiction is to excuses, right? There was a pause. Shane opened his mouth, then closed it again. His brow was furrowed, his cheeks red. The only real addiction is to excuses, repeated Dr. Gunnar. And that's all you say when you strip all the syllables away. Why did your mother talk to you all the time? At you, I mean. Yes, you can answer. Well, she was lonely. Right. And why did your dad... Why was he so distant and critical? Well, he disapproved of me, of my art and dreaminess and sensitivity. Right. You seem smug. Dr. Gunnar smiled. I am smug when I'm right. Your mom excused talking you half mad with the excuse called loneliness. That gave her permission, Shane. Do you see? Your dad used his incompatibility with you as an excuse to be harsh, to be critical and dismissive. Hang on, we'll get there. Trust me. I listen for a long time, then I talk. We do what we give ourselves permission to do, Shane. You've had money worries, right?
Yes. Yeah, of course.
Did you ever think of robbing a gas station to pay the bills?
Well, no, of course not.
Right. It's not on your list of approved solutions. You don't give yourself permission to rob gas stations, so you never even consider it. You ever read Crime and Punishment?
Read it? I fucking live it, Doc!
Dr. Gunnar laughed. That whole book is all about what Raskolnikov gives himself permission to do. And Hamlet, do I give myself permission to kill Claudius? Your whole life is about what you give yourself permission to do and what you deny permission for. And really, let's not kid ourselves. That is like me teaching swimming to toddlers. You give yourself permission to blame Regina, your mother, your father, your late brother. I'm really sorry again. What infected you was not your mother's talking, your dad's coldness, your brother's superiority. And it wasn't even Regina's drugs. The real drug was permission to blame Regina, to blame the drugs. What does your life look like without excuses, Shane? Dr. Gunnar's voice slowed and intensified. Do you even know who you are without these goddamned excuses? Can you speak without self-justification? Do you know why your language is so florid, so stellar, so pressured? Because you are making fiction out of every moment, Shane. You are making lies out of every waking choice. You blame your bad relationship with Robert on your past, on your resentment, on your mom and dad and Helen, that's right? Yes. Her too. You think you're alone because of Regina and the drugs. You react. You react all the time. I'm sorry, this was supposed to take longer, but we don't have time. All you do is react. And to react, you have to have excuses. Otherwise, you have to do something other than react, which is to make an actual goddamned choice. But you cannot make a choice if you are infested with excuses, Shane. No, I'm almost done. Shut it. Dr. Gunnar leaned forward over his desk, his knuckles on the mahogany wood top. "What do you want to do if you have no excuses, Shane? You are in your 40s. You've wasted years on excuses. What if you took your language skills and passions and capacity for fiction and creativity and peeled those away from your excuses and put them to good use? Yes, you should panic, because it's almost too late, Shane. Doors close all the time in life. Bang, bang, bang. It's a drum roll of missed opportunities. You want kids? You need a woman 10 years younger because you're so indecisive. And you're indecisive because you give yourself all these excuses. A few more years, it's all over. Do you get that? Do you? You're almost out of time, Shane. It's long past time to panic. Your brother died. Sad. Tragic. But at least he fucking lived, Shane. What do you do except lurk in the basement, staring at a wall and playing How Soon Is Now and pretending to be deep? You're not deep. You're just flat. Your brother died. I'm sorry about that. Go to his funeral. Cry. Wail. Weep. Fine. But if there's one thing you can do to honor his passing, it's to take all these excuses and bury them with your brother. His life is over. Take the lesson and work to begin yours.